Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to another episode of But Am I Wrong? Starring two people who have not once ever been wrong, but those two people are exhausted today. Might get a little punch drunk, a little loopy doopy. Why are you tired? Did you not sleep well?
I told you I had to send files and then I got very cold.
Oh, yes. Well, I forgot because then you did your fake day. And so then they started merging together.
Yesterday, I worked from like 8 a.m. to like 12 a.m. So it was a very long day. I'm catching up from when I was gone. And then we have a new podcast launching soon. So it's just like prepping for that.
There's also something about like when you get back to LA and you haven't been here in a while, like there's something in the air here that you're like, I now actually am being forced to rise and grind. Like there's not a chill atmosphere here. I mean, I guess some people do think it's chiller. I think New York's way more chill.
You think New York is more chill?
I think there's a hustle and a bustle, but it's like people in New York are going to a restaurant for lunch. Like
that's
LA.
True. And dinner.
Yeah, that's not. LA is like you go to the gym, you go to work, you drive home, you eat dinner, you sleep, you work, you do all that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. But yeah, I'm very tired. My electricity went off at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I had to alert the people that it had gone off after I had did my inspection because it wasn't showing up on the app, on the LADWP app yet. There was no outages. And so I was like, I'm the person.
You know what would be a great venture for you? And I say this selfishly because it would really benefit me. So we've got apps like Nextdoor and Citizen.
Citizen.
I find that when we give apps names of women, I trust them. And I think you need like a Melissa app, and it will just figure everything out that is happening where you are right now. There's a lot of traffic where you are, and you're like, why is there so much traffic? And it'll tell you, oh, Coldplay is at the Hollywood Bowl. And you're like, great, thank you. Because it would take me 25 minutes before I could see it.
Melissa says.
Exactly.
Coldplay is at them. Yeah, I like that.
And it's kind of like an Ask Jeeves sort of thing or whatever. So mm-hmm. like, it's like you can just type it in and you could phrase it however you phrase it. And like, what is going on here? And then it will just pop up and there's a little like Bitmoji version of you. And it's like, Melissa says that this, 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 and this. And it'd be so helpful because there are times where there's nothing that pisses me off more when we do this. Like, I'm not a police girly. I don't love the police whatsoever. ACAB.
You don't?
No. Not once ever have been a fan. But specifically,
that's why I was getting mad when people were saying lawfully for anything. I'm like,
no, I know, because do you mean American law? You mean law. And who enforces the law? Not here. There's nothing about us. But in LA, and it happens in any fucking major city, this whole thing of like, police keep us safe. They're keeping us safe. And then I will see, you know, they're keeping us safe by shutting down an entire, entire street, an entire intersection. And it's all roped off with cars and tape and all of that. And then you get closer and you suddenly see every officer is kneeling and having their doors open and they're just pointing guns. And I go, this is how you're keeping... You didn't send out a memo of saying, hey, avoid this intersection. Mm. There's an active shooter that we're trying to take down. Like, and we were going to like a nursery, like a plant store. And Mats was like, let's just park here. There's a lot of parking. I go, bitch, there's a lot of parking because that street right in front of us is shut down. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know who they are or what they're doing, but we're not going to be shopping here right now. When you see a street that's deserted and empty, you have to ask that question.
Mats is so innocent sometimes.
Melissa. When I tell you, we walking through San Francisco with that boy, I go, tell me about the Denver you grew up in, because you are moving slow. You are looking around. You are making eye contact with people and you're not smiling when you're making eye contact. You're keeping your same straight face and you're looking around and you're wondering why I'm walking fast and you're wondering why my purse is across my body. You wonder why I'm moving with intention. And he's meandering and he's going, what is this place? And I go, the Tenderloin, walk faster, little bitch.
I mean, you know, I grew up in an area where everybody's looking in each other's faces and smiling and saying, how do you do, and things like that. But I turn it off when I'm here. Yeah. And if I'm going to San Francisco, that's double. Uh-huh. But like now I'm at the point where I forget that I got to turn it back on when I go back. And I'm like, why are these bitches looking at me in the eyes?
You want some of his fucking heat, bitch? Yeah. You want some smoke? And they're like, no, honey, I was your elementary school teacher. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Sorry. My bad. I'm friends with your mom. And you're like, oh, so sorry. My bad. I think there's something about, like, there's something innate in women that, like, that it, we mm-hmm. We have that, like, being very vigilant kind of a thing. And I think, like, there's an unawareness from men, but then there's also a false sense of security. When, like, because you're a guy, and if you didn't, I don't know, like, if you didn't grow up in, or even just have to, like, walk through that with just one other person. Like, I always think, I'm like, you know, went to school in Atlanta, but, like, walking with big groups of friends, like, it's just, and your college, you're not as, like, you're not paying attention.
I was going to say, but, college Atlanta is different than adult out of college Atlanta.
Like, you're with a ton of friends, and, like, you've got all of that kind of stuff handled in there. And but also Denver's a lot smaller than San Francisco, which I always remember, because I'm like, oh, you could just walk home. So like me, I would get on the ferry from Marin, take it to the city with like one or two friends, and then we would have to make it back to BART or to then back to the ferry and then get all the way back home and then have to get picked up from there. So like you have to figure that out, and you're not close by your house. You can't just be like, I'm gonna just call up a parent and they'll just pop on by to pick us up. But he does that. We were in downtown LA like late at night, and he parked somewhere else. They go, it was like still light out, and he was like, oh, you like go get our seats and then I'll get the car, or I'll park the car. And so then we were leaving. I was like, bitch, where did you park? We were walking down a dark alleyway with no street lights, and there's no car. Why would you park where there's
absolutely
no cars?
Not. Did you have a ticket?
No, but he was walking so slow, and I was like, I need you to speed the fuck up. This is not, you're not even taking in the sights. You can't see anything around here. And all of this is not to say that like LA is dangerous and like, oh, there are all of these things here. But like when you are walking around oblivious, when I tell you the same way that the woman from The Cut has a face of someone who wants to get scammed, when you walk around oblivious, you have the face of somebody who doesn't want their wallet. You have the face mm-hmm. of somebody who's like, I won't feel it if you grab something out of my pocket. Like, it's just
blind. He's like, I've had my car stolen multiple times. I'm fine.
He's like, I don't need any of these earthly possessions. I'm untethered to these material items.
All right. Well, welcome to But Am I Wrong? A show where people write in and ask about their predicaments in life, if they're right or wrong. And then we also share our own life situations and talk about people in the public eye. As it was once described, this is ethical gossip.
Wonderfully said. And if you would like to participate, we have a couple ways for you to do that. But really, the most important thing is you can vote on every segment we have in the show. We have, are they wrong? Are they not wrong? And we do all of that voting over on our Instagram story. So we then will read the results on our Friday episode, which is called Fisting Friday. But we have different segments on the show and we will explain each of them before we get into it. But just know, this is participation. You get to vote and you get to tell us your thoughts and your feelings. If you agree with us, you disagree, you have personal experience. So it's fun. It's not super one-sided like that.
The first segment is called But Am I Wrong? And that's where we pick something from our lives that we could have been maybe wrong in, or a rant, or something that we've just want to talk about.
I'm so sorry for everybody who heard that and then now theirs is talking to them.
It's a group conversation, but I believe it is my turn to go first.
Great. That was my next question, if you knew whose turn it was.
And I feel like this is going to be very controversial.
Oh, I love that.
I'm a little nervous to even say it, but.
Oh my God. You've been sitting on this. We've been filming all fucking day and recording all day. And you never once told me, like, I'm a little nervous. Like, you know how excited I
told you I
get.
Forgot what it was, but then I remembered.
No, I know. But now you forgot and now you're nervous.
Yeah.
So many emotions.
Nervous. Okay. Here we go. Unless it is an emergency.
I need everyone to also know we have a Patreon where you can watch the video version because I am enjoying Melissa's face right now as she's gearing up to say it. Okay, go.
Here we go. Unless there is an emergency situation, flying with babies is selfish. And here's my reasoning why. Babies cannot communicate how they feel unless they're crying. And I have no problem with crying babies on a plane. I'm not going to be a person and be like, shut that baby up. I understand that they are in pain and can't pop their ears. They can't express their pain. And they're also confined to this little bitty spot. And I just don't like seeing the babies in pain. And I think, you know, like if there's a death in your family, you have to fly to take the baby, then do it. Of course, like do it. You need to be there. But if you're just going on a little vacation across the USA and there's no real need to be there except for enjoying yourself, why are you putting the baby in pain? For the next 2 years, go on vacations where it's like just a drive away. Or like you can leave the baby. Like they can stay with somebody else and you can go on your vacation because you're not even fully having a vacation anyway because you got a baby with you. So like I feel so bad when I was flying back here, there were two different families that had babies. And those babies were screaming their heads off. And my heart was just breaking for them. Like, I was like, these poor little, and I know it was annoying other people, and it wasn't annoying me. I just felt empathy for the babies because they can't put gum in their mouth. They can't pop their ears. They just know something weird's happening and I'm in pain. And I don't know why it changed, but I used to, when I fly, my ears would like be so painful that I would have tears down my eyes too. It changed within like the last 5 years, but like I know what that pain is for me as an adult who can like yawn or mm-hmm. chew gum or do things to stop my ears from popping. But you got a little baby here that doesn't even understand what's happening. So there's my hot take. Come at me. These are my thoughts.
That's a very hot take. I don't necessarily disagree. I also feel so bad for like the parents too. Mm-hmm. And like, I will always think back to James Corden and his wife. It was a Dumois blind. So no one knows if it was actually like real or true. But everyone was like, this post was like, he was on a plane and he like offered the woman who was like next to him to like put her bag up. And the person who like had submitted this was like, oh, like James Corden, that's like, you know, it's kind of nice. Like that's that. I'm glad he's being so respectful of that woman. That's really kind. Then as they were getting like they're on the flight or whatever, like just doing their thing, doing their thing. And then as they're getting ready to leave, they're all deplaning. And she looks over at him, the woman who's sitting next to him with the baby, and was like, are you going to fucking help me at all? And the person was like, that's his wife and his kid. Like they just like were floored by it. Again, it's a Dumois blind. No one knows if it's true, but similar to the Drake condom, I don't need any facts or evidence. This sounds right to me. So I also feel so bad for the people who have to be with the baby, like the main caregiver of the baby on the plane. Like it's flying is not really fun for adults either. And so then having to take care of a kid, if it's not like evenly split duties. And then I also follow the nanny subreddit, the profession, not the show. And the amount of like nannies who have to fly with kids and the parents will be in first class. And then they'll put the the parents and the kids in first class and the nanny and coach. And they just let the kids run between like back and forth. And I'm just like, oh my God. And like, that is just, it's just so much that I think I also worry. And I don't want to like make anyone like worried who is a parent. And I'm sure like pediatricians and doctors will tell you, but like, you're not supposed to fly if you have a sinus infection or like you're really congested and you can't like breathe through your nose, like any of that. And like, you can kind of tell with babies, but like not always. Cause like sometimes babies are just like spitty and slobbery and like snotty. And I always get worried about that aspect of it too, where it's like, how much of this is that they're in pain from that? And then how much of the pain that they're in is because like they're congested and this is posing like a higher risk or whatever. Yep. But I'm a big proponent in finding we need fast bullet trains that don't make you car sick.
Yeah.
A big believer in that one.
Yeah, take a train. Even I know it'll take longer, but the baby's not going to have pressure in their ear.
Yeah, makes my ear hurt just thinking about it. When was your first flight? Do you know?
I would have been like three. I came here.
That was your first here. Mm-hmm. How full circle? L.A. Yeah. Or just California?
L.A. We went to L.A. We went to Santa Barbara. And then went because Danny and his immediate family used to live there. And then my uncle Melvin and cousin Tasha lived here. And then we went to Disneyland.
So fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was one of those babies in a flight as a baby. I was 6 months old. I might have even been younger. I might have been three. But because my grandpa had a stroke. And then they're like,
okay,
bring the baby. Totally. But yeah, I traveling with kids, as someone who's traveled in a caravan with kids, like, driving to Colorado and back, when I tell you that, like, that shit is something that I'm like, before Monts and I decide if we're gonna have kids, I'm like, we really gotta think that through. Because when we drive to Colorado and we get a text from your brother and he's like, we have to pull over, our son has barfed on himself. And then we say, okay, we get total full change of clothes, don't even get to the next rest stop for him. Threw up on himself again. It's just a little car sick. And it was like,
yeah, babies,
nine times. Yeah. And it was just like one of those things that you're like, okay, so glad that we're in a car and there are rest stops for this.
Mm-hmm. We flew, but we also, like, I think I've told you before, we had this big van that the back seat would lay fully out like a bed. And then it had a TV, like before cars really had TVs in them, it had a TV. And like, we were with the VCR, we were living our best lives. Like sometimes in the summer, I would just go and sit in the van and have the doors open and be like a drive-in. Like it was a good time.
That was like my dream. Like I was obsessed with families that had like multiple kids and they had one of those big ass family cars and they're all like, hop on in kids. And and I was like, this is the life.
Yeah.
It wasn't my life, but I was like, this is the life that I love that. Yep. Yeah. I just think that, you know, I'm not shocked that things that are difficult specifically for people who've given birth and their babies and the people who are caring for the babies, we haven't found a better way. Not shocked, but we should advance that. Mm-hmm. If not for the environment, for the ears of babies everywhere.
Right.
Poor babies. Well, I don't necessarily think you're wrong at all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler Hair Tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer, and this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. Like, what? What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed, and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child, and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager is just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all of those things, it's a time-consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their US brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit yamenusa.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at yamenusa.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME. I'm going to talk about. Dun, dun, dun. Mine is a rant. I'm not welcoming any, oh, you're wrong, this, this, and this, because I'll get into, like, there's, like, an aspect of this where I'm, like, I'm still in the stages of being, like, did I mess up? Like, I'm blaming myself. And also, logically, though, the things that I'm upset at myself for doing are not logical. Like, it's, like, I shouldn't have to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm, like, mad at myself for, like, not scamming the system, not anticipating and then scamming the system to get it to be what, not scamming, but like using the system out how I know it's built to make it work better. So my hot take is similar to yours, incredibly hot. I don't think men should be doctors. Fuck off. Men, the field of being a practicing physician is not for you. You can be in a lab by yourself. You can be in a library by yourself. You can be writing down notes by yourself, but I need you to stay so fucking far away from patients, specifically female patients. And I, thinking back on it, I'm wondering if the person who was scheduling me for this appointment knew what was coming when she asked me, do you want a female doctor or would you like, or do you want a woman doctor or are you okay seeing a man? And I was like, I prefer a woman, but you know, it's okay if it's a man. And she's like, yeah, so I don't have a woman for a while, but I've got a man and, you know, I don't know when it was, like a month and a half or something when I had it. And I was like, okay. And she's like, you sure? And now I'm going, damn, I shouldn't have been sure. I guess I wasn't sure. And I did feel like she was trying to look out for me and I didn't really put two and two together there. But yeah, so basically yesterday as we're recording this, I had a rheumatologist appointment that I went to that went horribly. And to give some context to this, I didn't even want to go to the rheumatologist. I had no desire to go. Like I was given a referral to this rheumatologist 2 years ago or something. And it was like in my comprehensive workup when I had my, just like, I hadn't had gone to the doctor in a long time and I was dealing with like long COVID. And one of the things that he had said was that my PCP, I have very flexible, very loose joints and more specifically, I have really poor wound healing. So like on my legs and I have bad circulation. So Raynaud's in itself can be something tied to having EDS. Like there's a lot of crossover. And so in discussing all the, you know, joint pain and these things that I was having, he had suggested that I go to a rheumatologist and get tested for EDS. And even in the moment, I was like, I mean, there's nothing they can like do to really treat that. And like, honestly, like it's not high up on my list. Like for a lot of people, a diagnosis can be super validating, but I've got other things going on with my body that like have actual things that I can really work on that are bothering me day to day. So this isn't high up on my list. So I never called to schedule that appointment. And so that referral had lapsed. And then when I got my reinfection of COVID, when I got COVID the second time around and I got the reinfection of it, I went to another doctor, same hospital, same network, all of that. And she immediately, the first thing she said to me was, do you have EDS? And I was like, no, but my primary care has suspected that. She's like, I'm looking at your chart. And she's like, and I would be shocked if you don't. And she was like, and she didn't even ask me how hypermobile my joints were. She was just like, I'm seeing everything here and this makes a lot of sense. And she was like, I am going to get you a referral to a rheumatologist. I really want you to go. And I was like, I just don't see the point. She was like, I understand. But I think if you have a diagnosis for EDS, A, they will hopefully be able to help treat you for long COVID through that. Because I think what you're having is an autoimmune response to this. And then she also said, and I think even if that's not the case, having a diagnosis there, I think there's probably more I could have done. To me, that implication was that I could have gotten Paxlovid prescribed a second time, which is like the thing I'm the most upset about because I felt so fucking good after I took that. And then the rebound, I'm like back to square zero, feel even worse than I did a couple months, like before getting COVID the second time. So she's like, if you have something there, like you have more markers, I think I could be able to do more, or there are other things that you might qualify for things before other, like, because it's, you could be exempt from being like, oh, we're not recommending this right now, or cost, risk, reward, whatever. And so I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I just really think that that could be your point person for long COVID stuff. Like they can be really helpful. So then I got excited. Then I started getting my hopes up. And then I like was not wanting to go. But then a lot of other people I was talking to, which I'm like, maybe it was a confirmation bias. Because after I talked about it afterwards, people were like, rheumatologists suck. And I was like, prior to this, everyone's like, my rheumatologist is amazing. They're so helpful. And so I was like, pretty excited about it. And I filled everything out. And like, to be so clear, I know that EDS is not a autoimmune issue. At this point, it is not that. It's a connective tissue disorder. But both of these doctors, specifically for EDS, have been like, you have to go see a rheumatologist. So who am I as a patient to be like, no, you're sending me to the wrong doctor, or that's not right, or whatever. And then I'm looking up online, and the two most common doctors who diagnose it are rheumatologists and geneticists. But geneticists most of the time are diagnosing the ones that are genetic, like things that are coming, like you, that are testable through your bloodstream, not just like a mobility kind of test or a scale test. So I'm like, I'm sure this has to be right. And they're both very adamant on me going specifically for what this would mean for long COVID care, which is what I care about ultimately. And I don't want to minimize again, people who find this diagnosis very helpful. I think if I was at a different place in my life, that might be it for me. But like, I have limited time and resources to address like the health stuff in my life. And as of now, this, it was because of the long COVID tie to it that this was supposed to help with that. And so I check in, I get there, and I literally am like talking to the nurse there, and I'm like being, I'm like, oh, they're like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm so excited to have it. Like, I've heard such great things about, like, my other doctors are really excited for me to go to, like, to go to rheumatologist. And I've heard, and she's like, oh my God, well, I just can't wait for us to take care of you. And all the women were so nice, and they had those long nails that, you know, I trust. And I was like, God fucking damn it. So this guy comes in, and I already didn't really love his tone when I was overhearing him talk to another patient. And it wasn't anything medical related. He was talking about where she was traveling to next and like her family. And it just felt like some of the phrasing, like he was asking, like, what's the capital of that, like that city, like, or that country, and asking her about all of this. And she was English second language. And it felt like he was kind of testing her. Like, it felt like he knew the answers and he wasn't trying to like ask her about, I don't like ask her about like her own personal experience. It was just kind of like, it felt kind of like a history quiz. And it was just a little, it was just a little odd, but I was like, maybe I don't understand the relationship. Like, I'm reading too much into this, whatever. And he comes in and I filled everything out. I had brought the paper with me that I'm like writing all of like the, what symptoms you have and all of that, because I was like, this, it was just taking me too long before they called me back in. And so I had finished it by the time he came in, and I was like, I just like, this is my papers and stuff. I was like, I can't spell. So like, I'm really sorry if any of them are spelled wrong. I can try and pronounce, if like you can't see, understand what they're saying, I can try and pronounce some of them. I'm also like not great at that. And for like the family history stuff, I was like, I'm not entirely sure. I know there is someone who is like not a parent, but like I have an aunt or an uncle or whatever who has an autoimmune condition. I was like, I'm not sure which one. I was looking it up, wasn't jogging my memory, but I was like, I'm not entirely sure about all the family history. I know one side a little bit, but my dad is a lot older, so I don't know a lot of that stuff. And I don't have a relationship with my mom. Biggest mistake I could have said, because then this man was like, this just has to be therapy. This is what's going on with her. She has trauma. And I'm like, so he's like, goes over my symptoms with me. Like, he like is asking me all of like these, he's like going through the list and being like, so when were you diagnosed with ADHD? And I was like seventh grade, but I didn't start getting treated until I was like 21, and like not regularly until I was probably like, I didn't even start getting treated until I was like 22, maybe regularly 23 or something. And he's like, and you take your medication every day? And I was like, the days that I remember, like, I will go, like, I've gone weeks without it. I've gone a couple days without it. But like, I don't ever, rarely remember to take it twice a day for an entire 5 days in a row. Like, that's just never happened for me. I can't remember that often. And so we're going through the other things that I take and like the beta blockers. And I've written like very little things that are like, you know, do you deal with anxiety and depression? And it's like, yeah, I've dealt with that. But then there are parts of being like, what are your joint symptoms like? And it's an entire paragraph explaining all of it. Mm-hmm. And so this man just like latches on to like certain things that he's decided are the most important. And then he asked me if I had had any surgeries or anything. And I told him I had a rhinoplasty. And I said that I don't do great with blood and like anticipation of pain or whatever. And I was like, because I don't know how to write down the fact that I had like a vasovagal, I said syncope. And I said, is that right? And he goes, no, syncope. And I was like, okay, why are we laughing at how I pronounce that? Like, that's a little weird. And I was like, I don't know where to put that down because I'm not sure what that is. So I just explained it to him. And so then this man does not even take any blood, does not do a blood test, says, I'm very lucky that I don't have any autoimmune conditions in my family. To which I said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought Hashimoto's and Graves' disease, hypo and hyperthyroidism were autoimmune diseases. And he was like, technically, but like, not really. I was like, so like, what's your hierarchy of like what you prefer to treat? Like, and again, I don't have either of those things. And I told him, he's like, so do you think you have that? And I go, no, because I know my gynecologist said, based on timelines, whatever, she would assume my mom got it when she was pregnant with me. So if I was going to get it, I probably would have get it if I get pregnant. It's a very common thing for women. So I'm like, I don't think I have this, but like my other doctor sent me here to you. So like, hi, let's figure this out. And so I'm like just telling him everything. And oh my God, wait, we have to go back to the first thing he said to me, because that was actually when I was thinking back on it now. I go, this is my mistake. I need to change what I wear to the doctor's office, because I was wearing my Super Bowl Abercrombie t-shirt. And he walks in and he goes, Niners, were you even alive that year? And I was like, no, he's like, it's not from this year. And I was like, no, it's just like from Abercrombie. And he was like, oh, okay. And he's like, 1989. He's like, oh yeah, it's a Taylor Swift album. He goes, what? And I was like, no, it's the year Taylor Swift was born. She named the album after that. I was like, sorry. And so immediately he's clocking, woman doesn't understand sports. Taylor Swift must be an idiot. And I was like, okay, that was all a mistake. But again, I didn't think anything of that in the moment. And then he does the most basic, like turn side to side, basically looking at like my glands, my thyroid, all of that. And I'm like, fine, makes sense. Doing the joint thing, he asks me, there's a thing called the Betten scale. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's what they'll do for EDS testing. You meet X amount of criteria. Man asked me one question that's on it and had me do one hypermobility thing. And that was it. That was like, didn't even run through the rest of it. And then it's just like, so, you know, EDS. Yeah. You probably have it, but there's no point to diagnose it because you can't treat it. So we're not going to do that. But, oh, he asked if we were planning on having kids soon prior to that. And I was like, no, not at the current time. He's like, but when you have kids, you have to tell your OBGYN you have it, because it can have complications with birth, because your skin can. And I was like, oh, like, you know, like your skin stretching and that could be an issue. And he's like, no, like your uterus could stretch and it could be really bad. And I was like,
then diagnose me. So then that's an information that's in my chart. So then they have that going in.
Also, this is a hospital that is huge. It's one of the biggest hospitals in Los Angeles. If I'm having a child, I will be here. So what do you mean? You can't write there for your little colleague. You don't even have to fax it anywhere. Like, it's in the fucking chart with everyone and everything. Like, what? And it was just so, I was just kind of like, okay. And then he was just kind of like looking at me like I was stupid. He's like, well, like, yeah, I don't think you have any autoimmune things. And EDS isn't even like autoimmune. So, and then, but like moves on from all that so quickly. And he goes, well, really what your issue is your fight or flight. And I was like, you're just bringing up what I had said that my plastic surgeon had said, because he's observed me passing out lots of times in anticipation of a needle. That's what you're diagnosing me with. So I have what he wrote down. Diagnosis, too much flight, neuropathy, restlessness, burnout. Sir, burnout from what? What are we talking? Like, none of this was what we had talked about. And it was to the point where I thought that he had just like had a pre-written template that he was printing out like a flyer on this. And then I like realized that he's actually typing and has been typing. I go, this is when I've been telling you about my health history, that you've been asking questions. When did you get diagnosed with anxiety? When did you get diagnosed with ADHD? Like, when did you get your rhinoplasty? This is what you've been writing down. These are the fucking notes you've been taking. So then he says, you might be overstimulated. And I almost said to him, do you know what ADHD is? Like, I was like, So then he says, my instructions are aerobic exercise. Start slow, go slow. Don't overdo. Endorphins are nature's best medication. To which I said, I'm a very active person. Like, I don't sit still. Like, I am not bedridden whatsoever. I am not sedentary. Like, I have ADHD. Like, I can't really sit still. I walk around a lot. I do a lot of things. I'm like, I even like, you know, doing yard work, breaking a sweat, but like, there's not a single day that goes by that I'm not breaking a sweat or cleaning up. Like, I clock in fucking steps, even if I'm like not exercising. And I was like, and we usually take a walk every day. And he was like, yeah, but I just need like 45 like minutes. And I was like, so I deal with like PEM, post-exertional malaise, where 12 to 24 hours later, even after like showering or things that don't seemingly take a lot of energy, like it really wipes me out. And it doesn't get better. And he brings it up again. And he's like, no, it's just the exercise. And I was like, I know, but what do you say for that with PEM? And he was like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, post-exertional malaise. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what that is. And I was like,
how old is he?
I would say he's probably in his, he's too young for this. He's probably in his late 30s. I would say like late 30s to like early mid 40s. So he's far too young. He doesn't even know what that is. And I was like, okay, well, the recommendation for that is actually like the exact opposite. Like that makes it worse short-term and long-term. It's not deconditioning. And I was like, and I just like can't stress, like I'm not sedentary. Like if the concern is like blood clots or anything, like I wear compression socks all the time and like ask anyone, like I can't even sit still through a whole movie. Like I'm walking around and he looks me up and down. He goes, well, I mean, obviously look at you. Of course I know you're not sedentary. And I was like, oh my God. This is supposed to be the better version of if I was a fat person, you saying, no, obviously, clearly you're sedentary. Like I'm supposed to take this version as like a compliment. And I was like, God, I cannot imagine what it's like to be a bigger person who is your patient. Like it was just like awful. And then his next one was, have you been to therapy? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you go to therapy? And I was like, yeah. We haven't been talking about mental health whatsoever. He's not asking like, how are you super? He just, question, do you deal, have you had a history of anxiety and or depression? Have you dealt with that? And I was like, yeah. So then he said, suggests I should do talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. And I was like, sure, I do therapy. He then includes a screenshot of a cover of a book, which I know that this is part of what he was Googling. Self-parenting, the complete guide to your inner conversations. Learn how to love, support, and nurture your inner child. And I was like,
what does any of this have to do with why you're there?
What it has to do with is the fact that I said I wasn't entirely sure about all of the spelling and all of the clear indicators of the medical history on my mother's side. And therefore, he saw a woman, doesn't understand sports, doesn't have a relationship with her mother. It must be this. And again, like there's nothing psychological or really I'm literally here for a referral because I've dealt with these things. They're like, you know, I'm dealing with them. Most of them are seemingly not connected, but I guess they can be connected. And truthfully, I'm here because I was told that this could help with long COVID. It might be a more comprehensive way to do that. So, and I'm like, I'm not here asking for medication. I'm not here like saying that I have anything. I'm here because I was told by two other doctors that this might be helpful for something else that I'm dealing with, which again, there are also indicators that people think long COVID could be tied to an immune like an autoimmune response. And when I tell you, there is nothing about my demeanor that is giving like textbook, like this girl is like anxious and I'm being me. Like I'm making jokes. I'm having like, I'm in a great mood, like all of this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like nothing has to do with what we were talking about. So he's not even listening to me when he's asking me questions about my medical history. He's decided who I am. And then he goes to try to journal 30 minutes a day in the morning and then work on improving your sleep quality, which then he suggested, have you ever tried sleeping pills? And I was like, that's what you want me to get hooked on sleeping pills? Because I threw it the last, I was like, oh yeah, and I should probably get a sleep study of him because like, I don't feel super rested after sleep. Then he told me to work on mindfulness meditation. And he's like, have you ever done that? And I was like, no, it's not really conducive to my kind of ADHD whatsoever. He then says, what about the Calm app? And when I tell you on this paper he handed to me, it says calm.com, $10 a month, parentheses, 7-day free trial. Headspace.com, $10 a month, 7-day free trial. There are other platforms out there as well. Then we get to number 5, kindness towards yourself. When I tell you, I don't even know where this comes from. We didn't even talk about this. What is he talking about?
I don't understand why you're there for a physical problem. And he is not a doctor that treats anything mental. And he's prescribing mental things to you.
And I'm like, my guy.
Did you report him?
So I wasn't even going to because I was like, I'll get into like what the stuff that made me be like, maybe this was my mistake. Cause I was like, I wasn't necessarily standing up to like, once we got to the point when he said, there's no real point to diagnose it, but tell your OBGYN you have it when you get pregnant. At that point, I just kind of like shut down. And I was like, I'm not going to cry because I'm not going to give this man the satisfaction. Cause he keeps looking at me like lingering looks, waiting to see if I'm going to cry. Like I could tell he was waiting for me to cry. And I was like, I'm not fucking giving you the satisfaction. And so I just kind of shut down. And I was like, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, cool, okay, okay. And then he's like, okay, so, and I was just so fucking annoying. Then we go to number 6. When I tell you I saw this in the car, and if I had seen this when he had written this down and printed, like I didn't go through all of these. This is on the last page. What I would have said to him to be like, what the fuck does this mean? Number 6, perfectionist tendencies? ... Nobody is perfect. Only human.
That's not you at all.
And also, we haven't even had any... there's nothing I'm saying like, oh, I'm really overwhelmed with work. I have, like, really high standard. I'm like, my guy, what the fuck are you talking about? You're asking, like, what? What the fuck? And then he says, less multitasking, to which I say, do you know anybody with ADHD? Like, you want just work totally anti it. Then finally, number 8, consistency. And then number 9 was when he asked me, how do you think, what would you think about just like not medicating your Adderall? I mean, not medicating for your ADHD. I feel like that would be a lot better.
And I was like, what does that have to do with anything for why you're there?
But also, like, it's not that he took my heart rate and my heart rate is spiked, or it's not that I have bad high blood pressure or whatever that is. He's like, well, you know, some people have to get off at Adderall, and like, wouldn't it be better just to not be on it at all? And he goes, you probably don't even know what it's like to not be on it. And I went, I told you I didn't start taking it until I was 22. Like, I know what I'm like when I haven't taken it, and I don't take it every day. I take it when I remember, but no, it is, I need to take it at this point in my life. He's like, well, we just don't know any of like the long-term effects. And I just don't like it. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I don't need you to like, that's totally fine. Don't need you to like it. But the crazy part to me in that is that like POTS, EDS, and ADHD, very common to have all. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's like you don't want me to have this. And I don't know if he's ever spoken to anyone with ADHD before. Like, I just don't know that he like knows anyone with like, so his mind, the concept of it is like, this is my issue. Like, sometimes I think young doctors who are so in their own world, and specifically in like a really fast track of life, view Adderall as like, no, that's what the kids at my school took to cheat. And I go, look at me and look at you, sir. Who is in the fucking white lab coat? And who is the girl here who is just talking about what, am I getting ahead in your med school life? Like, it felt like a personal vendetta against girl who does not have a relationship with her mother and girl who has ADHD and is medicated for that. And he's like, well, you know, it's like autism. Like, there's a spectrum. Like, not everybody needs it. Like, I'm sure it would, like, your life would be really good without it. And I was like, my life is fine right now, but I like didn't graduate college. Like, I couldn't do like, and he was like, well, you know, your anxiety. And I was like, no, I actually have my anxiety. Most of my, a huge, besides my, I mean, social, a huge part of my anxiety is also tied to my ADHD. Like, there's a lot of it is that. And 90% of my social anxiety is tied to my ADHD. So when I started getting medicated for that, that got a lot better. Like, it's actually a lot worse because I'm neurodivergent, and there's a miscommunication between like my brain and my mouth, and that makes me anxious. And I'm just like, he's so fucking clueless. I was just shocked because the whole like, oh, fight or flight thing. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of jumpy, but I was like, but I take beta blockers, and like, honestly, that helps so much. And like, this only really happened to be like, I startle easily, but like this really like fright thing, I was like, that only started happening after I got COVID, and beta blockers when I got POTS, that's what made it a lot worse. And beta blockers, like, I'm pretty solid. Like, it doesn't interfere with my day-to-day life. And of all the long COVID things, doesn't interfere with my day-to-day life. Like, I've got the POTS thing. It sucks, but I'm working on it. But like, that's also not your fucking field. And he also wrote, Adderall probably would hurt your sleep quality. To which I had also told him that I don't take it past a certain point in the day, if I even take a second one, even though it doesn't affect my sleep quality, but because I've heard it could potentially, and I don't want it to, if there is a small chance that it could. And I'm like, I can't. Many people in a situation similar to your own are faced with the decision of stopping/changing how they take it. What are you talking
about? I knew that you know, the some of the things that you'd said, but you know, we were holding off because our friendship also includes a business. So, you know, you didn't go into details because you said you'd go into it today. And I am livid. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Oh shit, I forgot the last one. You know what the official, when you went diagnosis, he actually wrote down for me? Fibromyalgia, which there are people in my DMs who have gone to multiple rheumatologists who won't give them a diagnosis of fibromyalgia and have said, maybe it's EDS, maybe it's something else. Like, it's as if they're specifically holding back things. And he's like, I highlighted the things that affect, that you fall under with fibromyalgia, but like, it's not many of them. And so I'm like, so instead, when you're saying that I hit all of the markers for EDS. I'm not going to get a diagnosis of that, but you're comfortable writing down, I have a diagnosis of fibromyalgia with not many of the symptoms.
But if you get pregnant, you should tell your doctor that you have EDS.
Yep. And someone else said in my DMs, which I was like, genius, was like, me and my friends just started telling our doctors that we're actively trying to have a baby, and the amount of care, the change in quality of care is astronomical. And I was like, oh, I guess that's what I should be doing at this point. Yeah, sorry, continue what you were saying.
I'm just mad. I'm mad for you, but also I'm not going to speak on why I went home, like exactly, because the person that it happened to, they don't want people to know, but it was in the same situation of they were having a medical issue. And they kind of just like gave up on actually finding the answer and was like, this is a mental thing. And then had a therapist come in and talk to them about something that didn't happen. And we're kind of trying to push that on.
I was thinking about that the whole time.
Yeah. And then finally, you know, they figured out what it was. And I'm angry. And the reason why they kept pushing only was because one of my best friends is a doctor, and she was being an advocate and was like looking to see what doctors were on duty, like what if it was somebody we shouldn't listen to, don't listen to this person, and making sure we were having the best care. Like this is not her field, but she was making sure that we were taken care of. And it sucks that you have to have an advocate there to make sure doctors are actually doing their job.
Yeah, it was such a fucking headache. And like the copay, $90. Parking, $10. Driving, 45 minutes each way.
Yeah, so you lost money and time.
Yeah.
And like, then had mental distress.
Yeah, and like he was like, well, you can go to like a physical therapist. Like people with EDS do that, but like they can like tape you or whatever. But like, you know, if you want that. Like the whole thing of being like just feeling like you are so silly and so stupid of like whatever. And it's like, sir, if both of these doctors have referred me to you, there's no shot that you don't have other people who are going who have also been referred for an EDS diagnosis. Like, this is not the first time this has happened. And if this is something that you're like, not my wheelhouse, not comfortable with this, whatever, then your scheduling team should be like, he's not someone who's going to take this appointment. Like it's just mm-hmm. like, it just felt like such a failure of the system that like I have zero fucking control over. So then why am I being treated like the idiot? Like that really fucking pisses me off. And I was just like so fucking annoyed. And so he was like, I mean, when I got home, Mats was like, he felt so bad. And he was like, I feel like I should go with you to the next one. I was like, yeah, but this is the issue. It's like, I have to educate myself so much that I can advocate for myself in that room. And then I have to educate you how to do that. And then you have to translate that to a man so that a man can hear me.
Yeah.
So like, there's just so much fucking effort. And like, everyone's like, get a second opinion. And I was like, I didn't even want to go the first time around. Like, and when a doctor is like, this doctor is going to be so like helpful. And like, I don't even know if they necessarily mean like that specific doctor who had the opening or this umbrella of rheumatologists and this office. So it's like, that is frustrating in itself, but it's like, I didn't even want to do this to begin with, but I was told it would be helpful if I got this diagnosis. That's supposed to be the quick and easy part. They just want me to get the diagnosis because then my other doctors think that I can get more help if I have that diagnosis. But now getting that diagnosis is going to be a fucking pain and a half that like I don't even really care to like get. Like it's just so fucking annoying. And just how men treat women, where it's like you are not valuable until you're carrying a baby. And until then, best of fucking luck. And then just tell other lie to other doctors or tell them that this is fine or this is whatever. Once you're pregnant, there's zero point to it. And he was trying to treat it like this is really exciting. You don't have an autoimmune condition. And I was like, you know why I'm here? Like, I didn't come here being like, hey, I think I have lupus. And this isn't that. So it felt like it was disingenuous from the very fucking start. And I just hated him, and I hated the whole ordeal and the whole thing. And I always had a lot of like acknowledgement and empathy for people who are overweight, bigger bodied, fat, whatever term you adhere to, for how they're treated in the medical system with the blanket solution of, have you tried losing weight? Just lose weight. And I have friends who've gone through that specifically and most often with PCOS, where people gain weight because they have PCOS and then doctors are like, just lose weight. That's your only problem. And it's like, but I'm gaining weight because something's wrong. And they're like, well, lose the weight and then we'll figure out if something's wrong. And it's like, but that's the whole fucking issue. Like, what do you mean starting from this? Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. I can't imagine if I had fibromyalgia or I had arthritis and I'm in a lot of joint pain and I'm being told that you just need to lose weight. Because being told that I need to exercise, even though I can clearly see that you're not sedentary. I can clearly see you're not fat, but like you need to do more. It's like, good God. That's like, and the way you're delivering this information to me is like, well, look at you, great genetics. And it's like, so I get good genetics for looking like this, but then when people don't look like this, that's a personal failure.
Mm-hmm.
I am just not going to go to any male doctors anymore. The only male doctor, well, I like my pulmonologist and it was the same building. And I wanted to like go by his office and just cry. And I'm sure he would have been like, honey, it's okay. And like my cardiologist is fine. But like, I think back to like the only like really good male doctor I have is my PCP, where like I cried in his office. And like, I remember he said, he's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, what? And he was like, that's it. I'm just sorry. And I was like, ugh. Like, you just expect people to just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But like having someone be like, no, I'm just like, that sucks. But like, ugh, I hated this man.
So it was a woman that referred you to not the specific doctor, but.
So it's all the same, like main, like the rheumatology department. So mm-hmm. I don't know that either of them specified a specific doctor to go to, but just get a referral to rheumatology. They'll call you and schedule with who's the first available. But she might have scheduled me with a woman.
So can you talk to them and be like, hey, this dude sucks and this is what he told me? And then maybe say, is there a specific doctor that you recommend?
Yeah, so I can ask my PCP for that, because I remember I had told my pulmonologist that I didn't like my cardiologist. My cardiologist is fine. Like, I know how to work with him now. And so like, we're fine. But my pulmonologist was like, I'll help you get it. If you don't like that doctor, I'll help you get another doctor. But with this one, at first I was like, I feel stupid. I feel like I did something wrong by wasting his time and coming in. Like, I felt like I wasted his time and I shouldn't have had this appointment. But I'm like, bitch, you were referred twice by two different doctors to have this appointment. Everyone wanted you to have this appointment. This man knew what your appointment was for. When they scheduled it, they knew what your appointment was for. Everything is written down while you're coming in. Like, this wasn't my fault. And so I wasn't going to say anything, because everyone's like, report him. I was like, I feel silly and I feel stupid because I feel like I fucked up somehow.
It's not you.
Well, then I get the push notification from the hospital saying, rate your recent visit. And I said, if you insist. And that felt like a sign to me. And so
mm-hmm.
I did it and I like wrote everything. And I'm glad I did it that way, because I wanted to make abundantly, because like, it goes through like, how was your scheduling service? And I want to be like, everyone who worked there was so kind, so helpful, so great. Not him. All of the women were amazing. Not him. And so I wanted to
like,
make sure.
My massage.
Exactly. I thought about that literally as it was happening and I was filling it out. And so I explained like just like incredibly dismissive and latched onto things and decided things that were not what we were talking about, not what I was here for, not productive, and super dismissive of my, what I'm dealing with and everything, and chalking it all up to anxiety. And he even said at one point that he's like, well, I think the reason why you're probably like having this like, whatever you're saying about this exhaustion after you're tired, like after you exercise, is your body probably just thinks your body just like lives in trauma. Like your body just identifies everything as trauma, and exercise is probably trauma for you. And I was like, I didn't exercise for like a lot of years. Like I danced and then I didn't exercise for a lot of years. And then I exercised again for a lot of years and I stopped. And like, I've had all this stuff this whole time. It's not ebbing and flowing. He's like, no, I think it's just like it's trauma. And then he even said something about my thinking that I'm, my allergies, because I'm sick and I'm like, there's a trauma response of my allergies, of like my being sick and then having allergies in a mindset, and it's all getting worse because I'm not having enough of the time to process. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The more I'm like, this dude needs his license taken, because he's talking about things that are psychological and that is not his department at all.
And it's crazy to me, because not that I know a ton about like med school, but from people I follow who have been in med school, the tracks that tend to have the least people wanting to opt in for them are mental health ones, because people are like, I don't want to work with that. I don't want to work with that. So I go, so why you, sir, who've achieved the title of rheumatologist. Why suddenly now are you so desperate to get into mental health about women? Oh, and then he asked me, do you like water? And I said, oh, I drink a lot of water, but I'm wearing a mask, so I didn't bring my water bottle. He goes, no, I meant like pools. And I was like, oh, I don't have a pool. And he was like, what about like, would you just like get into a pool? And I was like, for like swimming exercise? He goes, like just floating. And I was like sensory deprivation. He goes, that's weird, isn't it? And I was like, are you just telling me to float in a pool? Like that scene from New Girl? Like, what the fuck does this have to do? He's not even talking about joint pain relief. Like, he's not talking about any of it. He's just like, I think you need to do that and you need to like relax. And I'm like, I don't know what about me. I wouldn't say I'm like an incredibly chill person, but I wouldn't say I'm uptight or high strung whatsoever. And like, I was not that in the appointment. I was like, this is my personality. Have you ever met someone with a personality before? It was making me miss my cardiologist. It was so fucking weird. It was so weird. I wish I could remember like everything he said, but I was just like, what are you talking about? So men shouldn't be doctors. And I'm giving an exception to my primary care physician. He is a gay man.
My primary care physician is amazing. Maybe it's like, don't specialize.
No, yeah.
Mention specialize.
No, because there's also an ego that it comes to the more education you need for something. Yeah. And again, I knew cardiology. I know brain doctors. I've had better experiences with a cardiologist and a neurologist who both were like, girl, you are quirky and fun. And I'm like, thank you. Like, stand up over than this man.
All right. I'm sorry.
Well, I wrote the review. We'll see what happens.
Great. I was reading his other reviews and the ones that are negative are saying pretty much the same thing that you said.
Oh, no way. I bet it's women. I don't think he likes women. I don't think he dislikes them sexually, but I think he dislikes them as a concept.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Yeah.
back. And it's a time for But Are You Wrong, where we read your submissions, where you let us know something that you're currently facing, a decision you've made or will be making, and you want to know if it doesn't have our sealed approval. Are you wrong? Are you not wrong? We'll let you know. So you can submit that to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Keep it under 300 words. Please let us know your age in this, and it is all anonymous. So use fake names, and we will do our best to put the gavel down, the iron gavel.
Hi, Queens. I love you guys so much. So I am 32, she, her, and my best friend is 28, she, her. I don't know how else to say this, but she has really bad breath. Other people in our friend group have commented on it, but no one has said anything to her. She is very sensitive, and this won't go over well. Am I wrong if I don't approach her about it? I feel bad people are talking about her, but I also feel bad hurting her feelings. I feel like it's a no-win situation. I'm sorry. Some people just have bad breath. I would tell her. I once had a friend that smelled really bad, and people were talking about her. Like people, like strangers that I, it was in college, and it'd be like strangers would say, I would hear them saying things about her. She had BO, and I told her because I felt like she should know. And you want to know what she said? Well, if I smell bad, my mom would tell me. And then I'm thinking, your mom probably smells bad too.
And thinking, I don't want to meet your mom. I don't want to be stuck in a car with this family.
But at least it was said.
Yeah.
Like, I do think you'd be a bad person if you didn't. I think you should tell her because people will continue talking, and it will make, I think it makes you a bad person if you know that somebody, regardless of the situation, if you know people are talking bad about your friend and you hear it and people in your friend group are saying things and you don't tell your best friend, then I think that's not being a good friend.
I agree. I don't think you have to tell her like everyone's like people are talking about it, but I think if she doesn't respond well to be like, no, I don't, it's like, okay, I'm trying to be this as like so kind as possible because like I love you, people are talking about it, and like I just like want to help you out. It's one of those things like, sure, it will, you would know, anyone on the receiving end of that, my instinct reaction, mortified, would I ever be mad at the person telling me and wish they hadn't told me? No, I'm like mad at myself and I'm embarrassed, but like even the outcome in which her feelings are hurt, she's not like, I would actually rather live in denial with my halitosis. Like that's actually not the other outcome. So you're not gaining anything by not telling her whatsoever. And as we've said before, as soon as people start talking, and if you are involved or have heard those conversations and those people know you've heard those conversations, you will get looped in as like a we corroboration. If you don't want to be a part of the we, you got to break off from that fucking we.
Right.
It's your best friend.
Yep. And I would say always carry some gum with you, and you take a piece and eat it and say, would you like some?
This is where me having like a problem with having a filter comes in very handy. I have to like backpedal. Like I will literally like hug Moss and I go, oh my God, you smell. And I go, I'm sorry. That was so rude. Like I like will just say, and it's just because it comes to my mind, and I go, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he'll be like, that's fine. I'm hopping in the shower. And I was like, okay, sorry. But like, I don't know what I would, if I had a friend who had bad breath and like we hugged, I go, oh my God, bitch, what the fuck did you eat? Like I would just come so quickly. So if you have a relationship like that, it doesn't have to be like, we have to have a sit down talk about your chronic bad breath. It can be like, bitch, your breath fucking stinks. Sometimes that's better. Okay. I-26 would love an unbiased opinion. My boyfriend, 25, and I moved in together with a friend, Lainey, 26. Last summer, she asked me and my boyfriend if we were interested in taking a room in her apartment, otherwise she would have to move. When we moved in, Lainey had warned us that she hadn't been at the apartment for about a month as she'd been traveling and staying with her girlfriend, Marnie. I knew she spent a lot of the time at Marnie's, and we talked about it often, and I heard about times when Lainey's last roommate slash friend confronted Lainey about always being at Marnie's. We ended up moving to a dirty apartment. Dirt from the old roommate moving out, socks, and then baby clothes? Question mark? Absolutely everywhere. Unorganized kitchen and general disarray. She gave us full permission to move some items while we were unpacking, and apologized the whole time, promising that she would come as soon as possible to organize. She did a little bit. Since September, Lainey has been to the apartment approximately 12 times, sleeping here twice. Each time, she moved things around, sometimes bringing food and forgetting about it or leaving behind dishes. Because it happens sporadically and it's small things, we haven't said anything to her about it. In the meantime, we feel like we're living in the same mess we were months ago. Our second ever guest just stayed with us, so I cleaned our living room. I kept Lainey's things in the same area, just organized, threw out the trash, returned our kitchen items, and close to her room. I started to message Lenny to let her know where her things were moved and realized I should have given her a chance to clean it or ask permission. I feel bad. My boyfriend is reminding me how many times she promised to clean.
I'm just going to add in, was I wrong for moving her things without?
I think it's like a two-prong. Are you wrong for moving her things? And then are you wrong for not saying anything at this point? Not wrong for moving her things. And I think you are doing a huge disservice to you and your boyfriend for not talking to her about this. Like, if she wants to have a glorified storage unit, she can buy a storage unit to have her stuff there. But if you are both, I'm curious if you both like work from home, like, does she ever come home during the day? Like, is it just like she straight up is not there at a, like, really almost at all? Because to that, I would be like, I think we need to implement a new rule that once the stuff is in the common, like the common area of the room, it needs to be tossed, in the sense that like, if it is here for X amount of time, it kind of like, you know, in elementary school where you've got like a lost and found and it only lasts for X amount of time before they're donating it. Like the notion that the common areas become, are also her apartment when, only when she's there, but when she's not there, out of sight, out of mind, like dirty food, like moldy food, all of that. Ugh. I think you would be wrong if you don't bring that up.
Yeah, I don't think you were wrong for moving the stuff at all. Like, it's your living room too. Once it's in the common area, it's everybody's stuff. So free game. But yeah, I agree with what Megan said. Like, this person, why are they even there? Why do they have a place?
Storage.
What's the point? They... not just like, well, y'all have been there, but even before that, they were never there anyway. So I'm sorry you had to move into a filthy apartment with baby clothes, ?
I'm sorry. I have so many more follow-up questions for that. Like, I can't, who's baby? What are the size of the baby clothes? Is this like multiple size? Does it feel like we're fitting multiple babies?
Baby living there?
Are there of the seasons? Like, do these babies need these clothes? Are these worn baby clothes? Are these babies looking for these clothes?
Sorry, but I would get up. And also, y'all didn't even want to live there. You just moved in because you were trying to help her out. I would get out as soon as possible.
Yeah. And if you like the place, I would be like, hey, we found someone who could take over the rest of your lease and you can move with your girlfriend if you want. Or... I think the better choice would be to jump ship whenever you can.
Mm-hmm.
I will say though, for anybody who's moving in as a couple with a singular other person and they're like, this is perfect, ask yourself why. Because if I was single, I would not, as an individual, doesn't mean I'm not in a relationship, as an individual, would never want to live with a couple. And I do think it is a little cute when someone is like, no, I'm cool living with a couple. It's just a weird dynamic. So it makes sense to me that she's like, yeah, I don't care about living with a couple because I'm never actually fucking there. Like, I don't actually live there. Oh, it is time for But Are They Wrong? And this is where we nominate a person, place, or thing, something in the pop culture, current events, zeitgeist, who deserves a public humiliation. Tomato, 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 boo. We collectively talk about how shit they are. And we don't do it to their faces unless it's Mitch McConnell, because that face is on borrowed time.
All right. My nomination this week is for Judge Robert Adrian, and content warning here for sexual assault. This past Friday, he was removed from the bench after there was a 3-day hearing in Chicago because a complaint was filed against him. The decision said that Adrian engaged in several instances of misconduct and abuse of his position and power. They could have, if they wanted to, the commission could have just reprimanded him and gave him a suspension without pay. But they said, we've got ample grounds to just remove this dude. And they did it. So in October 2021, he was presiding over a case where he found an 18-year-old Drew Clinton from Michigan guilty of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl during a May 2021 graduation party. A complaint was filed because he first had said that this dude was going to jail. And then he was like, never mind. The 148 days that he spent in jail was punishment enough. And so he even like at this point has doubled down and said what he did was correct. Usually in these type of cases, the person that was assaulted isn't named, but this person wanted to make it clear that like they weren't afraid. And so her name is Cameron Vaughn. She's now 18. And she said that she was completely shocked that this is what the judge decided when she attended the commission proceedings with family and friends. After Adrian threw out Clinton's conviction, Vaughn said that the judge told the court, "This is what happens whenever parents allow teenagers to drink alcohol, the swimming pools with their undergarments on." She recounted the account and is also supported by court documents. And so, of course, this sparked outrage, saying that her heart was bleeding and she was like so sad. And then she told the Chicago Tribune the following Friday's decision removing Adrian. She was very happy that the commission could see all the wrong and all the lies that he told the entire time. "I'm so unbelievably happy right now. He can't hurt anybody. He can't ruin anyone else's life." And so this man also said he reversed his guilty finding based on his reconsideration of the evidence and his conclusion that the state had failed to prove his case to be a subterfuge. Respondents attempt to justify the reversal post hoc. And like, he's standing by that. Like, he said that on Friday. He still believes that what he did wasn't wrong at all. And the worst part of this is that Clinton, the person that committed the crime, he can't be tried again under the Fifth Amendment. So he is free to do whatever he wants now.
And wholeheartedly, I think everybody should know what he looks like, know what his name is. And mm-hmm. Yeah, people talk shit on those Facebook groups about like, "Do you know this guy that I'm dating?" Like all of that stuff. And people are like, "This is for women to talk shit on like the size of guys' dicks." And it's like, no. There's like something like there is a code between women who understand the justice system fails them that like, I had a horrible college experience, but I remember upperclassmen girls like in my, like not even in my sorority, but like people I met like day one, day two, immediately being like, "Stay away from this guy, this guy, this guy." And like, I take that and okay, got it. Yep. And like, has to be a lot of our own justice system. And it does make me wonder what other things he has done that have gotten swept under the rug to the point where they were like, we're kicking him out after this one. Yep. And how many things that they've like sealed and hidden mm-hmm. that he's done. Cause in our present time, that is not a first time offense. That is a fireable offense for him, for the judge. So
the judge, Robert Adrian, the abuser's name is Drew Clinton.
Yeah. Fuck them. Hate it. I had a couple of ones I was debating. Obviously, a lot of them are very depressing of current times of IVF and all of that. I will recommend everybody to watch. There's an SNL sketch that Marcello?
Yeah.
He is doing it with Colin Jost, which is how you know it's funny, because I'm recommending you a sketch with Colin Jost because he is the perfect wall for Marcello just to bounce right off of. Michael Che is there, who says maybe one thing, also funny, but it is like there are so many things that are like obviously so fucking enraging about it, but there's something to be said about the right kind of ridiculous humor in it. And like, I think there's sometimes SNL does ones that I go, that's in very poor taste, that is like not funny, but the hypocritical nature of all of it is mind blowing to the point where like, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. If you don't like laugh, you'll cry. It brought some much needed levity after going through and reading all of this awful shit happening going on. So I would recommend everybody watch that. And I want to specify, Marcello plays a frozen embryo and he just looks like he's kind of doing Elsa from Frozen cosplay. Like we just have some white eyelashes and some like little white little flecks on his face. And it's the best sketch I think they've done in years. So on a lighter note, but a similarly like dystopian note, I would like to nominate, well, actually, before I do this, Did your mom have ties to the Kellogg CEO?
No.
Okay. But
everything about Kellogg's was founded on racism.
Well, they're bad.
Eugenics, like the founder was very much into eugenics and thought cornflakes could.
And that we'll get to, there's something that is stuck with them. It's getting very much Johnson & Johnson. So I would like to nominate the Kellogg CEO, Gary Pilnick. And when I tell you that I almost gasped reading this headline, he suggested that in a CNBC interview that consumers should eat cereal for dinner to save money. Teenagers with body image issues everywhere who have done the Special K challenge to get skinny for prom, myself included, are screaming everywhere. Anyone who is in a voting age at this point has already fallen for the Special K, a Kellogg brand, telling you to eat Special K for dinner to get ready for that big night to fit in a dress. But hey, we can't do that anymore because that's like body shaming. Instead, let's frame this in being financially responsible. The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure, he said, about high this is in the conversation around it, about high grocery prices. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. And then when the CNBC host said that I don't think that's going to land necessarily well with customers, he said he stood by it. In fact, it's landing really well right now. Cereal for dinner is something that is probably more on trend now, and we should expect it to continue as the consumer is under pressure. The insanity of this, of being like, hey, poors, I know you're poor. Give me money and eat my cereal, poor. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I have a great idea. How about instead of you eating something else, you save money and you eat my thing. And when cereal historically up until like quite recently when people have gotten into all of these alternative cereal brands, the reason why those have been successful is because there have been a desperation and need in the market for them because cereal is absolutely empty when it comes to nutritional value. It's like relatively devoid of any nutritional value. Mm-hmm. And the amount of like of when people, especially when they're like, oh, calcium, it's like, well, when you add the milk, it adds this much more there. That like the amount of cereal you would have to actually eat to reach the needs of what they're saying, like, well, it has this vitamin and this vitamin. Huh? What are you fucking talking about? And also it is for the context, it has come as consumers have been forced to spend about 26% more on groceries in general since 2020, according to The Guardian. And it is worth noting that Kellogg has raised its prices 12% in the last fiscal year as it pleads with its customers to eat cereal for dinner and give chicken the night off.
I'm trying to find in the 90s, they used to say, like, eat cereal as a part of this balanced breakfast. And it'd be like 50 other things that were on the screen at the same time with the cereal.
Because they can't claim that, like.
So they've got, this is from an ad with Captain Crunch, and it's got a bowl of cereal with milk, and then also a glass of milk next to it, and a glass of orange juice, plus a piece of toast and a plate full of fruit. Like, not just one apple, it's grapes and a couple apples. And they're saying that's a balanced breakfast.
It's just like infuriating. And there's also nothing fucking funnier to me than a bazillionaire telling poor people, have you ever thought about doing this when you're poor? And I go, sir, poor is the choices you make come out of need. It's not like, you know, I've actually never thought to have cereal. We've just been like, does he think people are putting like filet mignon on credit cards? And that's like, oh, they're getting more and more in debt because of that. So that's not what's happening. People are the desperation of having to feed yourself. People who cannot afford anything other than cereal are already eating cereal. Nobody is like mind blown. What a great tip. It's like the fucking billionaires being like, have you ever thought of not eating avocado toast? And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, we are in such different life experiences that you think that you're offering some brand new novel idea. Have you heard of cereal? And also that man must have never eaten his own cereal. Cause I go, would you not wake up hungry? And also most of the time that this is happening and when people are really struggling for money, parents are not eating and they're making sure their kids are eating. And those kids need something more than cereal to eat. And especially if they're on like school lunch programs or they're getting things, you know what they're going to get from school? Cereal. Drives me fucking crazy. And it's just like their PR team. Also, such a poorly worded statement. I'm like, you need media training, not just for like what you're saying, but also how you're saying it.
He needs to lose his job.
Oh, without a doubt, he should lose his job. Cereal's also not cheaper than a lot of fast food that actually has protein in it.
Mm-hmm.
Idiot.
All right, well, that's the end of today's episode. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Fisting Friday, where we will read the results from last week's episode of But Am I Wrong? And then Monday, we've got a brand new episode of Don't Blame Me, followed by See You Next Tuesday. Don't forget to write in to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Keep it to 300 words or less. And make sure you give a clear question of what you are wrong for. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, we'll circle back.
Yes, we will.
Goodbye. Bye.
We did it at the same time. But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.